everyone's okay with that. So we'll call the meeting to order. A motion to approve October 7th regular and October 15th special meeting minutes and transcripts.
I think we just lost Dean.
Oh, you know, I saw a shift, but I didn't catch on because I was looking at my agenda.
That happened a minute ago, too, and he popped right back on.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, we'll pause as we sort that out.
Well, you three can keep cooking along if you'd like.
Oh, we have enough. Oh, there he is. Okay. Yeah.
I'll make that motion.
Okay. A second?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Yep.
Opposed? Abstained? Perfect. Okay, so the first one, first resolution we have, I'll just give, Dean, are you able, are you back on?
I'm back on, I'm having problems. I'm in a new location.
Okay, well, you're here, so that's good.
And I don't know.
Here you are.
I'm here.
The modem is too far.
Oh, so you're kind of
far away, but it's only like two.
So in case you want to say anything,
I'll do the best I can and check out.
Yeah, you can also call in if you feel like there's, I don't know if you know if there's a resolution you know you're going to want to talk about, but you have that, if you call in, we could hear you. So I'll leave that up to you on whether you feel like there's something you want to be able to try.
Okay. I think I'll be okay.
Okay, because we're not hearing you that well on our end.
You're not hearing me that well there.
Yeah, but
we'll try it.
Okay, it's okay. All right. So resolution 396, requesting the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to authorize acceptance of a Department of Justice Bureau of Justice Assistance grant for comprehensive opioid stimulant and substance abuse site-based program and amending the 2020 budget. So this was put in by Legislator Ronk and myself on behalf of the sheriff. Motion to discuss.
I'll make that motion.
Second?
Sure.
Any discussion? Okay, all in favor of resolution 396?
Aye.
Yep. Aye.
Aye.
Okay, so no opposed, no abstentions. Perfect.
That was easy.
Next, we have resolution 397, appropriating funds to the district attorney's periodical account and amending the 2020 budget. This is related to the animal abuse registry. Motion to discuss.
I'll make that motion.
Second?
I'll second it.
Any discussion? All in favor of resolution 397?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained? All right. Next we have resolution 398, authorizing the chair of the county, Ulster County Legislature to execute a lease agreement with the Spring Lake. Sorry, my dog is extremely loud. Spring Lake Fire Department to be used as an impound lot, Department of Public Works, Building and Grounds. All in favor?
I mean, I'll make that motion.
I mean, did you want to discuss? I guess I didn't think it's too controversial. So,
no.
So I'm going right for all in favor. Oh, okay. We lost Dean again.
Aye.
No opposed, no abstentions. Okay. Hopefully he can find his way back on. Next we have resolution 420, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $272,416 entered into the county for legal services of Hudson Valley and the Department of Probation. And this is extending their crime victims to expand which crime victims are being served. I guess I'll just keep motion to discuss just in case. Motion to discuss?
Make the motion.
Second? John?
I'll second it.
Okay.
Anyone I'll second it.
Any questions or any discussions?
No.
All right. All in favor? Sorry, I'm going to sneeze. Any second?
Yeah. Yes, it did.
All in favor of resolution?
Aye.
Aye.
Oh, I can't get the sneeze to come out. Okay. All right. Next, we have resolution 421, approving the execution of the contract amendment for $49,745, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment to be in excess of $50,000. This is for the Black Creek Integrated System Corp. Motion to discuss.
I'll make that motion.
Second. John?
Second.
Okay. Yep. I guess I do want to bring this up because the sheriff had brought up that this system needs a full overhaul, and he had put in a request for the 2020 budget and the 2021 budget to have this as a capital project, and it was rejected. And from what I understand, and I'll let the sheriff go, these are just continuous repairs, and these repairs are, if the system was improved as it needed to be, these repairs would be a lot less costly. But costly. I don't know if you want to add anything to this, Sheriff.
So the system was put in place in 2006. The last upgrade was in 2011, and it's constantly breaking down. This system, the Black Creek system, and in a way, it's interesting that we're having the state sheriffs set the survey out, because they've been monopolizing a lot of us throughout the state. It's an expensive system, but the truth is this system here hasn't been upgraded in quite some time. And both years we put in, I think it was $568,000 to do an upgrade on the system. This system is responsible for all the cameras, every open and closing of the gates, the entire security system in the control room throughout the facility. So it's important. It keeps us from having liabilities if there's any fights or any emergencies within the pod. If there's a fire, obviously you can't be going around with a key and opening up each particular pod. It's a liability issue. Right now we're spending about $49,000 of maintenance fees a year. If it's upgraded, that number is going to drop to about $20,000. I am also in the process of trying to find another system, because like I said earlier, we feel in the sheriff's office that we're being throughout the state monopolized by Black Creek. But that's a discussion that we're having at the State Sheriff's Association in the future. But the bottom line is this system does need to get upgraded one way or the other at some point.
So can I just ask, wouldn't necessarily be what you're interested in is that this gets added as a capital project for Black Creek, but rather the upgrade. I mean, this might have to be better as an RFP so that you can allow vendors to respond to it. Is that?
At some point, that's what we're going to do. I think they're the only business in town right now. And a lot of other sheriffs throughout the state are getting kind of ticked off with them, including this office, because of the cost to up to now the $600,000 to $598,000, that's just to keep it up to speed, because we haven't upgraded it since 2011. But a full would be a little bit more expensive than that. And so the system is breaking down. It needs to be upgraded. Whether it's a new system or not, we need to upgrade the system at some point, or it's going to cost us more.
You know, if I might, Sheriff, your trusted sidekick last week or a month ago told us how fragile it was. And I do know that, they kind of have a monopoly on the state. It was like a utility, Central Hudson or IBM at one time. But he did enunciate very clearly that it has to be repaired.
Yes, we need definitely to upgrade this system. It needs major overhauling. And the longer we wait, the more it's going to cost.
So I don't know if this, is necessarily the place, but whether this group, this committee wants to discuss the concept of putting this in as a budget amendment request for the sheriffs. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, my thought is if it's something that they need, I'd be open to making a budget amendment request.
But the sheriff didn't ask for it.
He did. He asked for it this year and the year before.
Well, not since I was sitting here. You didn't say last week. Oh. I need $1 million to upgrade it.
Well, okay, so Sheriff.
I would, if I were able to do that, I would do that. I just didn't think that we had the money to do that because of the budget crunch and COVID-19. But yes, I mean, at some point, you know, we can't keep kicking the can down the hallway. We're going to have to fix this thing.
Any other comments or thoughts? Oh, hopefully Dean did not want to just say something.
The Phantom.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. All right.
I'd move the question.
Okay. So all in favor of resolution, right, because either way this has to be
aye.
Done. So all in favor of resolution number 421?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. No opposed, no abstain. Okay. But let's keep this on our mind when it comes to talking about the budget. Resolution 422, approving the execution of a contract for $65,964 for Motorola. I believe this is for emergency management for fire. Is that correct, John? Fire and EMF? Yeah, okay, you can just nod if it is. All right.
Yes, sorry.
Motion to discuss.
Make that motion.
Second.
I'll second it.
Any discussion?
Nope.
All right. All in favor of resolution 422?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? All right. Resolution 423 is similar. Again, for Motorola. I believe this one's for 911. All in favor of resolution 423?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
I need a motion on that. Oh. Someone has to move it.
Sorry.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you. Moving us along.
I'll second it. John, second. Move the question.
Thank you. Okay. So criminal justice reform task force update. There are three subcommittees, or there were three subcommittees. The restorative justice subcommittee is getting is shutting down. I'm losing which word because the district attorney has they've moved on quite a bit. They have identified a process for implementing expanding restorative justice for young adults. Currently the 180 program serves adolescents, so they're going to be expanding it, I believe, up to age 25. And they're right now hammering out the specifics of which types of situations, but it's going to be through the DA's office because it's the DA's office who will make the recommendation, but it's in partnership with probation and family. Family will then proceed in the process of, this is how they're planning it. This is not, you know, officially yet, but that family would make a assessment of whether it actually would be ineffective. So the DA kind of makes that preliminary approach, then family assess whether restorative justice would work and related to the openness of the individual, openness of the victim, and then proceed with leading those circles. They continue to do monthly training of restorative justice. They did have to make some changes because they promoted on Facebook and they got people from other countries training. So they want to clarify that this is for Ulster County. They still need to find, you know, they're always looking for more people who can be participating. Anyone who does the training would never be expected to lead. They would just be partnering until they had enough experience. But so that's moving along, but we no longer need the subcommittee because the process is now happening and it's really working. And then the subcommittee is just repeating that kind of information. The The Police Discrimination Subcommittee is going to partner, so to speak, with the sheriff and Ed Lawson. I don't know, Sheriff, if you want to talk a little bit, is it too premature about the sort of goals with that program?
So Dr. Lawson is a professor of Black Studies down at SUNY New Paltz and the Benjamin Center. And then we kind of collaborated in putting a framework in place and looking to put a symposium together later this month, in regards to diversity, equality, implicit bias, and a self-assessment of our local rules and policies and within an organization to help us get an assessment of where we're at when it comes to dealing with any shortfalls that we have with our communities that we serve. And so this symposium is in a nutshell going to kind of encompass and I know I'm missing, it's equality, it's
diversity, equity, and inclusion.
There you go. So that that's something that we're working on. We started working on that on the that Monday after the governor actually put out his executive order, trying to get ahead of it and have ownership over it and have a plan ready. But of course, everything else happened along the way.
So hopefully there will be a forum happening in December. That's the goal right now, right? And now. And then the centralized arraignment was interesting. The question came up of whether centralized arraignment was still necessary with bail reform, with the question of how many of these cases are actually happening in the middle of the night that potentially don't get counsel. But we did get a report from the magistrates that, I don't have the exact dates, but like when it started, I think it was like since March, but it was like, the number was up of like about 400. So it seemed like it was not insignificant like we thought it was. So they're still pursuing the feasibility of doing the centralized arraignment. So that subcommittee still continues to try to sort out how that will work for us or if it will work for us. And any questions about the, okay. So last we have that we did get a resolution from the Wednesday Walks for Black Lives Coalition. You all should have gotten it. I had thought Fanon was going to be here to present his resolution to us. Have you all gotten a chance to read it?
Yes, I've read it.
So it does have a couple of asks of the legislature. Jay, is it possible to share it on the screen so we could just make sure the other legislators see what their ask is for us and then we could talk about it? So actually, can you just the top for a second just to get even, the background? Yeah. So their whereas is that stop and frisk is a, they're referring to stop and frisk and the concern that behaviors are happening in Kingston specifically that are resemble stop and frisk activities, which, and stop and frisk is illegal. And so they're asking for us, now you can scroll down, to call the current racial profiling what it amounts to, stop and risk and broken window policing, and to recognize that they're a threat to the city of Kingston. Okay, you can stop sharing. So I'm not, it's a very ambiguous call to us of what they're asking. I don't know if you have any thoughts about how we might, respond or recognize what they're requesting? Legislator Haynes?
I think if we could get an update as to where we are at currently, the sheriff's office actually working through this program, that would be great if we could start from there. I'm not so sure. Are we still coordinating with the city of Kingston KPD? Where, if the sheriff would, wouldn't mind giving us a brief update, that would be great.
Absolutely. I emailed everyone the numbers of the blue and gray stops while we were having our meeting here. So I don't know if you have that, Jay. I emailed the Jay, Eve, and I believe you, Heidi.
And I just put it in the OneDrive too, sir, so they can access it that way.
Okay. And it kind of shows down the breakdown of the stops, and it's also by race. And let's just backtrack a little bit. First of all, these were not stop and frisk, encounters. If someone went to a stop sign, they violated the vehicle and traffic law and they were stopped. Most of the people did not receive any traffic tickets. As you can see, the stats that were submitted by the city of Kingston, to me and the captain of the state police. So they were not stop and frisk. These particular officers were selected because of their way of dealing with the public. And the other issue was, the reason why this was put together was because the unprecedented shootings that happened in the Fourth Ward. There were four homicides in the city as well. Again, unprecedented. Three of them are still unsolved. So there's obviously an issue with the public and local law enforcement to get that trust in order to solve these crimes. And law enforcement was tasked and the city was tasked to do something about it. And what was done was that the increased police presence, which in fact did slow down the shootings, although they still continue sporadically, and not as much as the 12 shootings that we had at the beginning of the year. And thank God we haven't had any homicides during this 10-week operation. Presently, the operation is kind of been slowed down. We're still going to be out there possibly on Thursday or Friday nights or any particular days where we have the manpower, but it's not going to be the same as it was before. But the purpose of this was to slow down the shootings and interact with the community, which myself, the chief, and the captain went out on two separate Saturdays. We've also went every Tuesday to either First Progressive Church or this past Tuesday. Obviously, it was canceled yesterday due to the election, but every Tuesday we had interaction with the people, elder woman, Rita Worthington ran the meeting, and that was done in person, obviously social distancing and masks and temperatures were taken when we went to this. That is, in a nutshell, what the operation was for, what it was about, and it was not stop and frisk. I understand the community's concerns because they were stopped more often than not because the shootings occurred in the Fourth Ward. The murders occurred in the Fourth Ward. And the question was, well, why weren't there patrols in other parts of the city? And although there were patrols in the other parts of the city, the focus of the operation was the Fourth Ward because of the multiple shootings that were occurring.
Thanks. So these numbers you're giving are the sheriff's, yours.
It's everybody. It's the entire detail. That's the city of Kingston, the state police, and the sheriffs.
But
it's not broken down by agency. That's what occurred during that 10-week period.
But only in Kingston?
Only in the city of Kingston.
I mean, I don't know. Let me just see.
So there were 1,420 encounters. There were 1,144 warnings given. There were 217 arrests. And there were 59 tickets given. If you look at the encounters, those percentages are kind of low. It is broken down by week. the type of arrests and whether there were warrants, arrests, and the tickets that were issued. It was also broken down if they were, white males, white females, black males, and black females.
So, I mean, I would say, I just looked up, for U.S. Census, blacks constitute 17% in Kingston. And so if their arrests are proportionate, then 17% of the arrests should be black. Not 37%. I do recognize, I'm not necessarily saying this is equivalent to stop and frisk, but if we talk about disproportionality, the only way it's proportionate is if the number of percent of arrests for people of color is equal to the percent of people of color. And this is more than double for people of color proportionate to their size.
And I understand that, but the shootings occurred, those 12 shootings and those homicides occurred in the Fourth Ward. And so, you know, law enforcement was tasked to have a better interaction. Obviously, we need to work on that, but those were the numbers that we had. If this would have happened in a white area, then there would be a higher percentage of white people that were stopped.
But this is different. They're actually arrested. I mean, I can understand why if we just looked at presence of police in the Fourth Ward, of course it'd be higher, but this is actually people who are truly arrested. And they're not arrested because they were committed the homicide. They're arrested because of higher level of police in their neighborhood. And then you end up with a higher proportion of people of color being
I mean, I understand that, and we knew that going in, that the way this program was supposed to work was that the community leaders were supposed to be briefed prior to the 10-week program. For whatever reason, that did not occur. The city of Kingston was going to put that together. This was a situation where something had to be done. People were not safe in the city of Kingston, and they were complaining about that.
May I say something?
Yes,
sir.
You know, the name of this committee is Law Enforcement and Public Safety. This is the first time we've been really talking about public safety. And you folks were responding to some pretty serious violent crimes. And I happen to know that over the last 20 years or so, the crime rate in Kingston has been remarkably low. It's one of the safest cities in the country. And something happened to change that back 2 or 3 years ago. And the problem is that law enforcement, the city of Kingston police, are like being tarnished that they weren't up to the job. And if you can remember, Sheriff, the first meeting we had here, there was a talk that the other agencies were going to be helping. And you very clearly said your office and other offices had the highest level of cooperation in the state of New York, working together, trying to keep the community safe. And all of a sudden now, I brought this up 3 or 4 months ago about public safety and why did the crime spike in Kingston? Why did the former district attorney say this was under our radar? But he didn't say why it was under his radar. Was he implying that the policemen weren't doing their job? Of course not. Maybe he was implying that they had some restrictions on them. I don't know. But I'll tell you, when you try to hobble the police to do their job and protect the public, there's people from up our way that don't want to drive down through Kingston because they're afraid there'll be a random shot. Now, I brought it up. Nothing happened. I never heard another word. I have been talking to a lot of people, Your Honor, the sheriff, in your job, not necessarily your job, but other police agencies. You know where I work. I see people. The sources and the people are going to be confidential, but there's somewhere along the way was a change. And I've come to the conclusion, it's a little like the coronavirus. You got to do everything you can to keep from being infected. Now, if you want to go out and take your masks off, or start to hobble the police a little bit, and you suffer the consequences. And I will be writing in my own little outline. I'm not interested in anybody else helping me with it, but to imply that this is just necessarily an accident, and the lack of professionalism, let's say, or the lack of success by the police is just plain wrong. Just plain wrong. And I know the memo, I saw it, stop and frisk. Yes, stop and frisk was very difficult. Mayor Bloomberg did it. It was implemented in some very callous ways. It also saved a hell of a lot of lives. And sometimes you have to weigh not oppressive government, but you need help to protect the citizens of the community. And I don't have to applaud you for doing it, it's your job. But I'm sure as hell gonna protect or speak my mind when it comes to the fine work that those folks are doing, whether they be your department, the Kingston City Department, the state police coming in, undercover people that are trying to identify who the potential problems are. But why for 20 years or more was Kingston's level of serious violent crime so low, and then it all of a sudden spiked? I saw one time in what, August or so, somebody from the city hall said it was the pandemic's fault. Hogwash. This has been going on now for the last year and a half or 2 years. I sure hope you can continue doing your job, work with the community, because one of the things that's most important in a community in any sort of politics is to assure the safety of the people of the and residents of the community.
Thank you.
Thank you, Legislative Parody. I just wanted to end the question. And there were unprecedented shootings in the city of Kingston, 4 homicides, unprecedented in the city of Kingston. And the people demanded that something was done. And so law enforcement got together. And this is a plan that worked in the city of Newburgh. It was called Safe Streets. And that's what we did now. It was not stop and frisk. And stop and frisk, people, you didn't need probable cause to stop somebody. In this particular case, if you did something wrong, you were arrested for it. There was a charge. It wasn't just stop and frisk, okay, you're gonna walk away. We're not gonna stop you for no reason or no probable cause. As far as I know, that did not happen here in this case. These three agencies got together to do what they're paid to do, and that was public safety.
Thank you.
So, I would imagine that this disproportionality we would probably see other weeks as well, and other months. I wouldn't attribute it necessarily to this situation. I think maybe this situation heightened the problem because the police presence was increased. I would love if you could provide this for other time periods for us to look at, because it may not be that operation to really identify the individual was solely in itself problematic. It may have just expanded upon something that might exist as a problem that we didn't necessarily pay attention to. There may truly be a disproportionality in how we're arresting by people of color. And I think it's important that we understand that's happening. Anyone else? Okay, so is there any, we're not mandated to give a response to this, but is Legislator Fabiano?
Yes, Eve, I was just, before we got done, I was just wondering if you could send me email me that resolution. I don't remember seeing it.
Yeah, Jay, can you send it to him again? It was like a week ago, I think we got it, but she can send it again. Well, so I'll give you, you have time to look at it. And before, next meeting, there's something that you want to present or we can talk about it then, but take the time to look at it. Again, the ask for us is not really quite clear. There's not really clear defined legislature, please do this. So I'm not, you'll all have to just use your own interpretation on.
Well, they're sure accusing the police of it.
Yes, there's
definitely. You're accusing, and you know, I'd be prepared. I'd be prepared to make a resolution condemning the police, but I'll vote against it. And anybody who wants to vote for it can.
Yeah, well, again,
because they're accusing the cops.
Stuff to do, exactly.
So listen, you want to condemn the cops? Let's put a resolution in. I'll vote no. That's for damn sure.
Okay. Again, I don't think anyone right now is talking about.
Well, we're talking about maybe down the road we will. Maybe we'll craft it a little differently.
No, not necessarily condemn the cops. I said
that's what I'm hearing.
Their ask was that we acknowledge that something, you know, acknowledge stop and frisk for what it is. That's not necessarily asking us to condemn the cops. I'm not sure what that is asking us to do.
Okay.
So, but, and there's no, we're not required to do anything as
that's
a result
correct.
Of this. So I'm just presenting it to you all, and we could talk about it more or not as the time, you know, after you have time to process it. Okay. I think I'm done, but I have to get to my agenda. Yes. So any old business that anyone wants to bring to our attention? Okay, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Second.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.